going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That's right. The Drive is live. And as you see, if you see your see us on YouTube and Twitch, you can see Clint there in that freshly new Astros City Connect hat.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to wear them tonight. They wear them on Mondays. Got this City Connect hat on tonight. I'm certain he got from Academy Sports and Outdoors. So shout out there. And you see Tyler right there. He's got his Rocket shirt on there. He's ready to go as they got a big one tonight. Damn, what happened to them on Saturday? We'll get to that, man. You walked me into that game. You'd have told me, all right, all the other starters not named Steph Curry are going to combine for 26 points and 1 for 13 for 3. No Jimmy.
Hey, oh, damn.
No Jimmy. Oh, hell, we going to win this one. Well, you know what happened. We'll discuss that in a bit. But as we say, a lot to talk about today. But let's start here, Clint, from the draft. When we left on Friday, the Texans had not made a selection, didn't have a pick, didn't make any additions to their team. They have since done so, obviously, through the weekend, and they have added 9 new players. Jaden Higgins, I know you liked in the first pick of the second round. Ursay, the offensive lineman. Noel, the teammate of Higgins at Iowa State. Jalen Smith from USC. Woody Marks, I know you liked a lot. Got it. Not as much as
Johnny Harris.
John Harris. Good Lord, John Harris liked him a lot.
I can get there. I can get there with Johnny on that one.
Mississippi State and USC also. And then as they get a little later in the sixth round, They had 4 picks in the 6th and 7th round as they had a couple at a quarterback, Graham Mertz, there as well. So they added a few players late. We'll see what happens there. But 713-572-4610, those of you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in as well and let us know. What were your thoughts after this draft? How are you feeling about this draft now? Now we see what the Texans pulled together. How are you feeling about the 9 picks right now?
I love it. I love it. I'm more than happy with the draft. Look, for a team that claims they don't draft for need, it's funny. They showed up on them first 5 picks. Four of the first 5 for damn sure. They picked a need. And so that's kind of where I think overall my mindset is I love the fact that they pick guys that are either going to be plug-and-play starters, they're going to be competing for a starting spot, and we will not be surprised if they are a starter, or they're going to be, without a doubt, heavy rotational players, and they did that with their top 5 picks. I mean, I think there was a method. I've always said I don't have to agree with everything, but for me, I can see the method.
What's the method to the method?
You needed wide receivers. You needed offensive skill. You needed another running back. The guys you had, which I've said a million times, one of the toughest pills to swallow with this team is what's been going on with Damian Pierce, and then the level of run, the amount of snaps that What's my man in the third string running back?
Dari
Ogunbowale guy. I mean, that is, for a team that's trying to win a championship, that is just absolutely unacceptable. And, you know, it looks like they made a move for a guy that I really, really like, by the way. I'll explain that as the show goes on. The cornerback at 4, Jalen Smith, kid out of USC. Look, whether that's him at corner and Lassiter bumping inside at nickel or vice versa, you've got a nickel package. Now you have a nickel coverage package as well as a nickel zone or pressure package that you want to play, and you've got pieces there that you can dance around with, options there in a big, big way. And then we talked about the O-line and the wide receivers. There's an obvious method to the madness. They got great value where they were drafting. They were aggressive, although it wasn't what I thought, be aggressive and move up into in the first round. They were trying to, according to reports. They were trying to. They couldn't get anybody to play ball. But when they had their chances, the way Nick maneuvered around in the draft, and when he saw somebody he wanted available, he jumped up and got him. I love it, man. I can't wait to see, you know, how ready some of these guys actually are.
I do.
I love it, man. I
think they probably surprised you. I bet you if we'd have told you how it broke down, like if you didn't see the players, if you just told you how it broke down, they're going to trade out of the second round, they're going to do this. I wondered if this love is something you would have thought you would have felt.
Well, it's one of those where you're getting into the, again, we're getting into that to me, the frame of mind with the Texans where, hey man, if your offensive line kept you from advancing in the playoffs last year and really was a problem all year long, then let's address the offensive line, right? And whether you agree or disagree, they've cleaned the house, brought in new bodies, and they're going to move guys around, it seems like. Again, we'll talk about what the draft of Urshery in the second round means, but like whether you agree with the exact moves, they went out and made changes at those necessary positions, and specifically to the draft. I mean, two receivers in the top four picks, top three picks this year. Again, I love the corner. I love the running back. I think it was a hell of a draft.
All right, let me see if I can find some folks here on YouTube and Twitch in the text line that liked what they saw. Here is Art said, feeling good. We got some bodies in-house that will force competition. I would have loved them to draft Jarrett Wilson with one of their draft picks, but I hear that they signed a center or two undrafted free agents. Someone here on the text line, our wide receiver room is about to be crazy. According to Josh, happy with the draft. Texans took what was available and didn't overpay, in my opinion. D'Amico said, welcome to death row with his defense, in particular his secondary. And then a couple of others who wondered about it on the text line. Guys, help me understand why they only drafted one offensive lineman. Another person, guys, help me why they only drafted one offensive lineman. That seems like a stupid plan. Someone else on YouTube and Twitch, stop trying to convert people to guard. He is a tackle. Everyone needs to move on from that. From our
Titus listener. or
I'm guessing Urshery, the new tackle they drafted.
Yeah, look, I've voiced my opinion on that. I'm not real high on the thought of drafting a guy that's played tackle, right tackle, and then moved to left tackle for 30 plus starts, and then all of a sudden, because of the way he's built and he's a little bit stiff, okay, let's move him inside. But it's, you know, I would have much rather them go get Tyler Booker, right? But Tyler Booker went 12 overall. They couldn't get there. I mean, at the end of the day. So the key is they've got an abundance of tackles, and one or multiple have the ability to swing inside at guard.
I tell you, if a tackle goes down for some other teams, like the Texans are a team you can go to and say, hey, man, we'd like to try to make a deal with you.
It wouldn't shock me, though, if the Texans weren't, like, free agency. Hell, who was it? Somebody, it was right before the draft, signed a veteran free agent. I can't remember who it was. I think on the defensive side of football. But, I mean, there's still some guys out there that I think will be really good inside help with this team. But right now, I think you've got enough bodies. The key is who's going to play tackle, who's going to play guard.
Yeah, to me, the, you know, when I look at it, And they did a lot of what we kind of thought. Like, you got to feel really good about the wide receivers they got in the second and third round. The two, Jaden and Jalen from Iowa State, Higgins and Noel. Like, especially with the history of this team. What in the last few years, they have done really, really well in finding receivers. The worst of the receivers they have drafted would be Mechie. And then you can explain away some of the reasons why maybe he hasn't reached what maybe they thought he would in the second round. But outside of that, right, they've drafted guys that have performed above their draft area, right? And it looks like Jaden Higgins, who gives them size, and then Noel, who is a – we talked about speed, Clint. That is speed. That is speed that they've added. Woody Marks, even though he ran a 4.52 in the combine, he seemed to play faster than that. Yep. Coming out of the backfield. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying if it's A-chain speed or something like that out of the backfield, but it is playmaking ability that he has shown at Mississippi State and SC. So I love that part, but I'm gonna stay here. I'm shocked that coming into the draft they only drafted one offensive lineman. I'm shocked about that, and I'm shocked that it appears to be another tackle. We can get into this a little bit later on. I think it says a lot about how they felt about their offensive line issues from last year and the way that they have kind of answered those questions up to this point now that we're through the draft. But the receiving thing, Clint, I think, well, they were probably at least one of these guys they will hit out of the park. Judging by what they've done.
Yeah, look, a lot of what I was looking at when we were talking Friday, I just fully expect them to go O-line with that first pick, but they go wide receiver, so Higgins is still on the board. And that was a great get, especially when you start looking at the comps. I heard John Harris talking about his comp was actually Nico Collins, and his comp for Jalen Noel was actually Christian Kirk. How about that? But the Noel piece I had knocked him off my list. I love the speed aspect, but he was more of a slot, shiftier wide receiver. And I thought if they were going to go that way, it would be Luther Burden, not Jalen Noel. However, they get him in that speed dynamic. We were talking about 4.38 at the on a 40-yard dash at the combine. That's a laser time. That's absolutely flying. And if you go watch some of his highlights, I mean, he's got the start and stop. He's got a real Tank Dell vibe to his game, in a sense of the twitch that you play with, and the somehow, like Ron, like the effortless, fearless ability to kind of navigate through traffic on a defense. Obviously, we hadn't seen Jalen Noel do it at the NFL level, but at the college level, there's a level of comfort there in chaos that just is not normal, and so. I like what they did at the wide receiver position. I mean, there is some, again, these moves, Ron, I know we're going to talk about it later in more couched a certain way, but these moves, I think they're great picks, but a big part of me liking the draft is also it gives us a little bit of clarity, as well as puts some pressure on some dudes that are veterans with this team, Ron. So, It was a good one. It was a good weekend for the Texans.
When you look at this, as we go through the list, as we see the list, and we've talked about these guys, how many do you see them being contributors this year at some point right away? And when I say contributors, I'm not talking about special teams. How many do you get of these guys? Do you get a sense are going to make impacts on this team? Because you can make the case that Higgins and Ursary and Noel and Smith, like you could see it come down. How many of these guys do you get the thought potentially will make immediate impacts?
Look, I think your top two are plug and play starters, and your top five are money. Your top two being plug and play starters. The next three, I think, at the very least, heavy rotational players. And look, now a lot of that depends on what does Ursary do? Is he a guy that goes in there and is competing with Blake Fisher, or ultimately is he a guy that with his size and strength can go in there at right tackle, and this is an upgrade over anybody else that we had? A lot of that is dependent on that, right? I mean, can Jalen Smith, the corner out of USC, can he play well enough for D'Amico to feel comfortable with him being a third corner a nickel, you know, man cover guy if need be, or is he even good enough to push Lassiter inside to where he can play outside? I think the top five guys contribute, at the very least contribute. Jaden Higgins is a plug and play starter from jump. I think Erstery is as well. The next three, I think, are heavy rotational guys. Yeah. It just makes sense. You know, for me as a Texans fan,
I was going to say Noel is another one I think gets in a lot.
Yeah. Because I think you end up.
And Marks might take over as the backup running back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got to. They traded up to get him. They traded a third, I think, from next year up to get him.
One of them.
I mean, that's got
to
be.
That's good value. Yeah, they did give up good value to get up further
that,
in the
that
fourth
is,
round.
We really like him, and yeah, he's got to be a guy that plays over two guys that you the best thing that you can say about them right now is both special teams. He's got to be better than that. Assuming he can handle a playbook and all that kind of job, which.
Well, I think he's also clearly, Clint, I think you've talked about this too. He's clearly a change of pace.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is it. This is going from power to now more speed, more scat, yeah. More elusiveness.
Well, he's got a little something else to him. I mean, he can get downhill. But he's got a little something else to him. And I think he was, from a football perspective, he was taught the right way. The systems that he played in, I think are gonna be a big plus for him in a sense of kind of separating himself, like you said, being a complimentary piece instead of just being another Joe Mixon.
Yeah. From the text.
Schematically, I'm talking about, not saying he's a Joe Mixon.
Text line, it's unfair to criticize the Texans for not drafting more O-line. The way the draft fell, they didn't want to reach and took some very competitive wide receivers instead of wild cards on the O-line. Hey, you're right.
Yeah, well, look, a perfect world, I would have liked to have seen them take a couple guards and a center and really solidify that thing, but they couldn't get up there and get to it. And to me, again, the one thing they could not do, and which I feared they would do once those guards started coming off the board early and the tackles that they liked started coming off the board early, what I feared they would do is reach, which again, the fear was you pull another Kenyon Green and you really screw the pooch.
Yeah, so. I agree with that. It's in the first round. I mean, they didn't take any other linemen. They didn't. I mean, they saw other guys they wanted.
Yep.
And clearly, this was their. You know, I mean, you can sign some guys, you know, after camps and stuff, but this was going to be their last mm-hmm. line of defense of trying to add guys to this team on the offensive line. They were happy with where their offensive line is right now, or they would have done something with all those picks they had. All right, coming up as we continue, Clint's kind of pushed towards this. Let's jump into it. What did this draft tell us? Not about the guys they drafted, but what did it tell us about the dudes that are already here? What impact does this have on the vets of the Texans? We'll discuss that coming up.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Nick. Fellas, good to be here.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Make sure you're listening. Stay tuned with us because in the 5 o'clock hour, at some point in the 5 o'clock hour, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's round, third round of this year's Inspirity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club in the 5 o'clock hour. We will be hooking somebody up with that. How many days is that? Tomorrow too, Tyler?
Yes, today and tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow. So the next 2 days, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Inspirity Invitational right here in the Houston area. So make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour. Listen for that cue to call, and then you got a chance to win a little that win a few tickets.
Yeah, look, it's great part of town too, up in Woodlands Way, man. You do a little shopping, you can definitely eat out, the golf is absolutely tremendous. The golf courses up there are absolutely beautiful. Most of them we can't get on, but when you do, whether it's as a fan or as a golfer, you take advantage of it. So yeah, it's if that's your thing, man, this is a good one to go check out.
No, it is. Yeah. So listening, next 2 days, 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win some tickets. So Clint, we talked about this. We looked at the draft and for you, it told not just a story of what they were bringing in and what kind of guys they were adding, but it told you a story and maybe got things a little clearer about some of the vets on this team.
Yeah, I mean, it did. Look, this team had several needs, and rightfully so. You know, when Nick and D'Amico and company are talking about these players, they got to keep it positive. They can't just go, no, we're not happy with them. But I do think that, or they can't just flat out tell us what position guys are going to play. That'd be too much to ask, right? But I think when you look at the second pick in this year's draft for the Texans, the second round pick, being an offensive lineman, being an offensive tackle, that's all he's played, right tackle, and he shifted to left tackle at Minnesota, I believe, played 30-some-odd games. What I've heard, you know, people talking about him is, you know, he's physically ready to play. There are a couple of shortcomings, but he's physically ready to play. We've heard D'Amico, you know, talk about first-round picks of being plug-and-play guys, but, you know, I think that particular pick sheds a little bit of light on Titus Howard. I believe Titus Howard's a tackle. I believe every time I've heard Nick Caserio, which I heard again on In the Loop on the way in, I heard Nick talking again and kind of referring to, well, he played pretty good guard when we asked him to move down there. Not he played great guard, and that's where he's more natural or anything like that. Not real convincing.
When we had to move him down
there. But if you just read the tea leaves, man, there's too many tackles on this team right now for everybody to play guard. And there is one guy on this team that you know, or I know, and I understand I'm more confident than most people are about Titus Howard playing guard, but you know you can play him at guard, and the other ones I think are going to be a roll of the dice at guard. And you move any of the young guys into guard or whatever. So I think the second round pick this year, which was the second pick for the Texans in this draft overall, I think that shed a little bit of light on the plan for Titus Howard. And unfortunately, for me, I thought he'd be better at tackle. Unfortunately, I think that means he's going to slide in like John McClain said.
Yeah, Brandon on YouTube and Twitch believes Ursary is a stud and that Titus has lost a lot of mobility, so he will probably be at guard.
Well, look, and here's the deal. I've said this a million times with Titus Howard. Whether you're higher on him like I am or you're just completely out on him playing guard, right? The reality of it is I don't know that Titus, with the exception of maybe his first couple years in the league, I don't know that he's ever had a off-season training camp and more than a handful of games knowing what damn position he was going to play, inside or out. And so do I think he's gifted enough and talented enough and has the ability to go in there with everything he does this off-season and everything they do, the new offensive line regime, everything they do with him this offseason, this training camp, be geared towards playing guard and not being a swing that can play damn near anywhere but center? I think that would be a big plus for Titus. But overall, as it pertains to this draft, Ron, I think this draft told me
a lot about him.
That I'm going to lean into him playing guard a lot more than hoping like hell he was going to stay at tackle. Like,
well,
I
imagine
hoped
the amount of guys they have in the tackle position that would make the most sense.
Yeah. Number two for me is drafting Woody Marks in the fourth round, making a trade to move up and get him. You know, what I think of of Woody Marks. For me, I think this is your number two running back right here. And so I think to keep it in the context that how you set it up, I think again, this told us how they really feel about Damian Pierce, how they really feel about Dare Ogunbowale. Is not only are we going to draft a running back, we're going to give up next year's third round pick in 2026 to move up and get him. And then you go and you study this kid. I watched him at Mississippi State before Mike Leach passed away. God bless your soul, Mike Leach. He's a player. And I'll be shocked.
Over 1,100 yards last year at SC. He had an 83 catch season for over 500 yards.
That's where I go to.
Mississippi State.
That's where I go to right there, Ron. Without a doubt, go straight to the 2021 under Mike Leach, wide open offense. He could hit you in all parts of the game, and I think that's one thing this offense is missing. So again, back to kind of how you set this thing up. I think that tells us not just Damian Pierce, but Dare Ogunbowale. They're gonna be special teams guys.
Yeah, Dare especially go back to his kind of his gig in his area. So yep. Yeah, I can see that.
I'll keep it in the same vibe here. John Metchie, with two of the top three picks this year, being wide receivers. John Metchie better show up and show out, right? I think the patience is worn thin. At least the patience coupled with confidence has worn thin. And he's going to end up getting pushed down to the bottom of the barrel again.
You think the draft status matters anymore with Metchie and Hutchinson, excuse me? Because I feel like they're in the same boat right now.
I think Hutch has always been a low ceiling guy from a tangible. So I think he is who he is, and I think the Texans are, he's going to be the last receiver we keep on this roster. We know we can depend on him. He can play multiple positions. He can play special teams. We know we got good size to him. You know what you're getting out of him. I think Metchie, it's been one of those. We're going to be patient and see if this guy can get to his ceiling. We're going to be patient and see if he can do it at the NFL level, what he did at the college level, and if he can play at his ceiling. Does he still have that skill set? And I think they've worn thin with the impatience, along with losing Diggs, losing Tank. I just think John Metchie better show up and show out. It's gonna be a dog fight. I mean, it's gonna be a dog fight for 5 and 6. The fifth and sixth receiver on this team, it's gonna be a dog fight.
So I was wondering if one of them ain't gonna make it.
Well, yeah, you got Watson, you got Berrios, who they went and got those guys.
Could return.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't. It's gonna be. If you want to be a true wide receiver at the NFL level in Houston, John Metchie better show up and show out. And then last but not least, I think this is probably my favorite. The drafting a corner with slot corner experience, as well as he bumped outside and was actually better outside.
Probably the pick that Casario was most questioned about. Because
corner?
Yeah, he went a lot higher than most people had.
Yeah, I don't have any worries, man. I don't know where he was on everybody's board, but when you look at him, I love the way these guys leaned into these teammates, and typically it's not like I really don't give a rip, but you're talking about like Kalen Bullock obviously knows this guy on an intimate level, and the staff I would imagine leaned into his experience with Jalen Smith, but more importantly the Jalen Smith coming in, assuming it works out. You got a corner nickel. Now you can go all out coverage defenders, man-to-man coverage defenders in a nickel set. Or you can go all out zone. I'll knock your head off with Lassiter and Petrie in the slot and Lassiter outside. I mean, you've got some, this secondary got significantly better, at least if it pans out. Now, I mean, if he's a dud, then it's all for none, but he'll be a special teams player. But boy, just as a prospect, man, you like the ceiling and what could be the potential of this.
All right, coming up, we will continue throughout the show to look at the draft for the Texans and overall. But the Rockets have a huge, huge game again. It feels like they are, you know, maybe not, at least for the series, to go down 3-1 would be devastating, especially how the game ended the other night. But we'll talk about the Rockets coming up, and we'll get on this thought first. Did the Rockets, did they blow the series Saturday night with that loss? Did they blow the series Saturday night, losing that game with an injured Jimmy Butler. We'll discuss that coming up next.
I don't like the Warriors.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Did the Rockets blow the series Saturday night? Saturday night. That was a tough one to take right there. Saturday night, we talked about it. Hey, can they handle the opening of the game? Can they withstand the storm that the Warriors would put out? And hell, they were the better team early. They were the better team. Like, they had the lead early. They were, and you could tell maybe Golden State was dealing with the, oh, Lord, Jimmy's not playing. I think we were both surprised. Because we said Friday that we thought Jimmy would play. No way. So he missed the game. It kind of makes you kind of let you know maybe the severity of his injury.
Jimmy freaking Butler!
But Jimmy, that guy, misses the game. And then you look at it. Yes, Steph was special. But he had 36. Outside of him, the rest of the other four starters, Clint, combined for 26 and went 1 of 13 from 3.
We sucked.
Now, Buddy Hield and Peyton just, especially Peyton in the fourth quarter, that really got away from the Rockets. But even within that, man, when you look at that, no Jimmy Butler, right? Hell, Draymond got teed up early. You look at it as their other starters weren't scoring, right? You kept down most of the other guys that you would think would be scary for you, and you lose that game. Did they blow the series Saturday night, in your opinion?
No, I don't think they blew the series. No, I mean, there's too much. I mean, when's Jimmy coming back? What's going to – all you do is steal one on the road and you get back that home court. I don't think they blew the series. They, again, like they did in game one, I think they pissed away a really good opportunity. That's for sure. This is the one – I think the game one for me was very – you look at it and you go, hey, man – Jalen wasn't getting it done, and the fact that he wasn't getting it done and took as many shots as he did, you're probably going to lose that one. Van Vliet didn't get it done, took as many shots as he did, you're probably going to lose that one, right? You didn't score enough. This game, with or without Jalen, down the stretch, when they don't have Butler, I thought without Butler, okay, this could be you can muck this thing up and just get a good, solid game out of everybody. And you can win this thing. And boy, I was dead wrong. It clearly is still all about Jalen Green and whether he's getting off or not, and whether Jimmy's there or not. So it was a frustrating loss for me. But no, I don't think they
could.
I don't think they lost the series. No.
Could you kind of chalk it up to the same? Like at game three, this is the first time they're on the road for a playoff game against this Warriors team on the road like that, similar to game one. Jitters there, because. I mean, they got some players like Amen Thompson he doesn't even look like he's playing with a level of confidence right now. He seems to have jitters. Jalen, again, you know, like we said, game one, you know, as he admitted, was kind of nervous, kind of excited a bit. That caused him a little bit in that game. And then this last game, he's 7 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists in game one. And then his first game on the road, he's 9 points, 6 assists, 5, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Maybe that is, I don't know. Maybe they were a little nervous too. Similar thing in the first game. That's one you look at it, boy. They got to win. That's one. The way that game was going, they got to win, and they let Steph get going, and for the first time, they let a couple of the others get going, and this time it's Buddy Hield and Peyton. Peyton just got to the lane multiple times late in the fourth quarter for layups. That is just unexcusable. Just, you know, and
I don't like the Warriors.
That was problematic. We'll see what happens tonight, because you know, obviously if they get this one, it's a different story. They take home court back. But damn it, boy, that felt like, wow, they can go and beat us without Jimmy Butler and playing bad.
Yeah, I just go back to you know, with the heel, I'm just going to die on, man. They,
He has been the test. He has been.
But I don't know what it is. And that's the part that's so frustrating about it. Like, I don't know if he just doesn't have the step on their throat mentality, or he doesn't have the mentality of like, hey, I'm going to go get shots. I don't give a damn. If I do miss, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go get shots. Or if this is M.A. Doka's plan coming in. I mean, it's just like, I mean, you look down and Jalen Green's got 11 shots. I don't care how good he is or he isn't. Like, that can't be the case. Like, we've proven that Fred VanVleet, even though he knocked down a couple threes early on and was hot and hit some, like that, that's not, it's just not going to get, it's not going to be enough to get you there. I mean, they got to do everything they can to force feed Jalen Green, and then they got to live with whatever the result is. If he's cold as hell and he's not hitting anything, and he's playing like the first year Jalen Green and not this experienced guy that can give you 38, then so be it. It happens. But it looks like to me, as I watch that game, and it looks like out of the gate there is zero focus on getting Jalen Green to rock. Game two, right out of the gate, I don't remember who was bringing the ball to the court. I'm assuming it's VanVleet. As soon as he crossed half court, Jalen came and got the ball and started doing his thing. It just doesn't happen as often.
Well, they didn't
often
adjust to the Warriors. So the Warriors adjusted to that and funneled him to areas they wanted him to get to, but they didn't. I think it does come down as which Jalen Green's going to show up in this series.
Absolutely, 100%.
Which one's going to show up, and he's got to adjust to it. Like, his swings can't go 7-8-2 to 38-4-6 and then to 9.
Yeah.
Like, those swings, like, he's like, just, you got to get some consistent. Like, if he's just in the teens or the low 20s, they win this game, or it looks a lot different.
It's super interesting to me the way that, like, if – I would like to see, and I'm not saying this is the answer, but it just seems like either he takes his foot off the gas the minute he misses a couple shots, or the minute that he misses a read, or that he doesn't do something right, or M.A. Doka doesn't trust him and goes a different route. And as I watch him, I just don't think they have a puncher's chance. Every one of the other guys can go out there and have their best game, and the Rockets are going to lose this series. If Jalen Green goes out there and has a good game, they got a chance to win it. It's that simple.
Yeah, he's got to adjust to whatever, and Udoka too. But a bit of it also is like, hey man, we can't come out start over every time and just hey man, all right, let me walk you through what you got to do. Like at some point, man, he's got to figure out what they're doing and make the best decision. He kept trying to go all the way down, and they were funneling right to him. And making him take tough shots or get stuck or having to pass it out, he just has to figure things out. But it's just,
well, you
got to get me some level of consistency, man. We got to get to 15 on your off night.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Amen Thompson. That's the other problem for me is I'm watching through the lens of, all right, is Jalen Green getting downhill and getting to the rack? Is he getting his shots? Is Jalen Green going to be a guy that is a maybe not dominant, but a force in a game? And if we're being honest, there ain't nobody. On the defensive end, they're all monsters. And there's Tari Eason shows up and Barry shows up and makes some big shots. But if we're being completely honest, I mean, there's no real threat to get downhill unless Jalen Green. And talking about Amen Thompson, I mean, he has not been good in this series. He has been timid as hell in this series. And
I called for him to sit down. I was like, man, he might need to sit down.
But Ron, that's that to again, the Jalen Green dynamic, right? If Jalen Green is getting downhill, I understand that the defense earns, you know, they deserve some credit as well. But when he's getting downhill, Amen Thompson's cutting and Amen Thompson is getting work. When he's not, it's all bad. It's like you either get both of those guys or you get neither.
Yeah.
Now obviously Amen Thompson's gonna do his thing on the defensive end of the floor. But it's just offensively, in terms of scoring, Jalen just impacts him so much, man.
Well, like Sean just messaged in on YouTube and Twitch, Green can't have this on game, off game type of nonsense. Well, I just think it's what separates him from being what we've talked about. Can he be a one or a two on a championship level team? And now, like it's a deal of, hey, man, They watched who can go crazy, who can get off and go crazy. We've seen Shingun in this series play well, but his play well has not resulted into 38 points and taking over the game. They're going to, Steve Kerr, they've been doing this a long time. They're going to do whatever they can to not allow Jalen Green to get comfortable to go and do what he did in game two.
Well,
but he's got to figure out something around that.
But the problem with it is when it happens early, he disappears. He takes 11 shots in a game, right? That game was closed down to the very end, and he was a non-factor.
Just like in game one.
Like I don't give a damn if you're missing shots. I don't care if you're comfortable. I don't care if the court's as a group, they got to figure out a way to get his ass comfortable, get his legs underneath him, shrink the court. But whatever you got to do, whatever, said the court looked huge. Whatever you got to do, they have got to put all their eggs in one basket of getting him.
It's the same. Clint, who are the Rockets trying to take away?
Well, Steph.
And how he ends up with 36.
Yeah.
Who are the Lakers trying to take away?
When they don't,
he ends up with 43.
I tell you what he ain't doing. Is he's not going to end up with 11 shots.
No. Yeah. And in some way, he's going to still find a way to get to his spot, and they're going to do things to do it. He's like that's. We're seeing the difference in the type of player he is compared to those other guys. Like right now, the Rockets are going to do everything they can, even without Jimmy, to take away him. He still gets up 36, and affects the game. All right, coming up, it sounds like we learned a lot from the Texans in the most talked about position since the season ended. We'll discuss what we learned coming up next.